The Lord Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, and He taught that we should love the Lord our God with all our soul. Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way, and loving God with all our soul matters. Stay tuned.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. The Lord God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God gave him life just as he gives life to us all. As Creator, we owe God our very hearts and souls. Loving God with all our souls means knowing what God desires and making every effort to please Him in every way. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to be a part of your life each week. The word soul is used nearly 500 times in Scripture and has a variety of meanings. The word for soul is sometimes translated life. Sometimes it means the inner being. Sometimes it speaks of a person's eternal spirit. It can also refer to the desires and the intentions of the heart, and it is our soul that can have a relationship with the God who gave it to us. Now, God Himself speaks of having a soul in Hebrews 10:38, and since we're made in His image, we too have a soul. While our bodies can die, our souls will survive. The word soul often refers to the immaterial, invisible, eternally conscious part of man that survives this life. Peter spoke of David's prophecy about the resurrection of Jesus found in Psalm 16:10, and he quoted it in Acts 2, verse 27. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. Now, Hades refers to that unseen place and can refer to both paradise, Luke 23:43, where Jesus went, and the place of torment, Luke 16, verse 23. But Hades is where departed souls go. No one enters hell until after the day of judgment. Jesus didn't enter hell, but paradise, a place and a part of Hades. Now, one day when you die, your soul will enter either a place of torment or a place of comfort. And we want God's blessing for you. Now, we offer this study, All of Your Soul Free. Now, this lesson is a part of our special series titled Heart, Soul, Mind, and Strength. And if you'd like a printed copy and live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We also have programs and free materials on our website, searchtv.org. You can also see us on YouTube. We'll now worship in song, read from James 1, 21 to 25, and examine how important our souls are in our relationship with God. Our reading today comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 21 to 25, and encourage us to look inside and see ourselves. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I hope that you too will be blessed in what you do by making those changes and being the kind of person God wants you to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you give us your will and your word that helps us to be able to come to be more and more like you each day of our lives. Help us to love you with all our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Bible, the soul is the entity within that thinks, feels, acts, and desires. When God created Adam from the dust of the ground, He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or living soul, Genesis 2 and verse 7. Now, unlike any other creature, God made man in His own image, Genesis 1, 26. The soul can also be called that center of our emotions. When Jesus went to Gethsemane, He told the apostles, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me," Matthew 26, verse 38. Of course, this overlaps with the idea of the heart, which is part of the whole person. The Lord Jesus asks us to follow Him, and He said in Luke 9, 23 and 4, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." Now, the word for life here is actually the same word as the word for soul. If a person chooses to save his life or soul for himself and do as he pleases, he'll lose his life or soul. But if a person chooses to lose his life or soul for the Lord's sake, he will save it. Losing our life means yielding ourselves to the Lord's will daily. Since we have free will and can choose what we accept or reject, some choose to reject the love of our Lord. John 1:10-11 says that He was in the world, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own didn't receive Him. Well, even some of the folks who had known Him for years failed to accept Him as God's Son. They were blinded by their traditions. Others are blinded by wickedness and greed. Psalm 10:3-4 says, "For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked, in the haughtiness of his countenance, does not seek Him, and all his thoughts are, there is no God." Many throughout time have rejected the Lord, forgetting that they must one day give an account for their actions. However, others see the love and truth found in Jesus Christ. They welcome and want to follow Him. John 1:12-13 reminds us, "But as many as received Him," that is, welcomed Him, accepted Him, "to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." God's desire has always been that His people would receive or accept Him. Let me ask you, what do you think of Jesus Christ? David's soul loved and wanted to appear before God. And David said in Psalm 42:1-2, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Because we have a conscious soul, we can have a relationship with God. We can know His will by reading His Word, and we can lay our requests at His feet in prayer. Through Christ, our souls can be born again by His grace through faith in obeying the gospel. We can become sons of God and daughters of God. We can appear before God. And like David, our souls thirst to be with God. Now, through the years, some have loved and trusted the Lord Jesus, and they were willing to die for their faith. Such devotion, like Stephen in Acts 7 and James in Acts 12, exemplify loving God with their soul as their entire existence was devoted to Him. To lose their lives or souls, that life force, refers to the totality of our being, including the spiritual and eternal, given over to God in complete surrender. Now, what we give, or when we give our heart and soul and life, when we do that, it reveals what we love. What do you love? If we give our souls to sin, it shows that we love sin more than we love God. Our choices affect our souls. And if we give ourselves to sin, our soul bears the consequences of the sin. The Lord God said in Ezekiel 18:4, "Behold, all souls are Mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is Mine, and the soul who sins will die." Now, Ezekiel 18, that whole chapter, makes it clear that sin is something that we choose to do, not something that we inherit from others and that we can change. Oh, sin may entice us, it may deceive us, it may enslave us, and ultimately it causes our spiritual death. But sin, oh, it's never your friend, and if you give your soul to sin, it will destroy you. But oh, you can do better than that. Hebrews 10:26-31 says something that's very straightforward. It says, "For if we go on sinning willfully," we know what we're doing and we intend to, "after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." That is, Jesus' death doesn't work anymore. His blood won't cleanse us. "But what we will have is a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Now, anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who's trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant which he was by which he was sanctified? and he's insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again the Lord will judge his people. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We must never think that sin is something trivial, that it doesn't matter to our souls. People tend to downplay their sins as if they were insignificant. But your sins matter. Loving the Lord shows love to your soul. Loving sin destroys your life and your soul. Some people tell themselves, "Well, I'm not as bad as he is or she is." Or they'll say, "Well, I did this little sin, but I didn't do that great big sin." And so they think, "At least I'm not like that other person." My friend, don't be deceived. James 2:10-11 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." You see, every sin matters, whether it's big or little in your eyes. If sin seems little to you, remember that it's not little to God. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed for men once to die, and after this comes judgment. One day you will face the Lord, and when we die, God requires our souls." You remember the Lord Jesus told a parable in Luke 12:16-21. He said, "The land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, 'Well, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?' And then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, I'll build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and all my goods, and I'll say to my soul, Oh, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?' So is the man," Jesus says, "who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." One day, we will all, without exception, stand before the Lord Jesus who will judge our souls. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." We must take the judgment of our souls seriously. We can't live any way we please and still please God. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things." When people are unforgiven, God doesn't forget about their sins. The Lord Jesus warned in Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, God doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to change the direction of your soul by your faith and repentance. He wants you to love him with all your soul. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God has done everything he can do to save us, and he wants our salvation. 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men, all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God, however, expects you to repent of evil, and love is what causes repentance. Romans 2:4 reminds us, "Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" God's goodness and patience doesn't give us a license to risk our souls by continuing in sin. The Lord God created us. The Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The blood of Jesus cleanses and frees us from sin, and the Lord's patience gives us time to change. He wants us to transform our lives. so that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. Now, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we might just keep on committing the same old sins. We hear so much about the grace of God, and we must never minimize what great things God has done for us. However, we must never presume upon God's grace. Some believe that once they become Christians, they can live as they want, as they please, and never risk their souls. But God wants something better for us than a life of sin. What does God's grace expect of us? Titus 2:11-14 reminds us, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds." When you become a Christian, you put away that old man of sin and become a new person. You're born again in Christ. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." At baptism, we're truly born again and free from sin. Romans 6:6-7 says, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." Now this love with all our souls is willing to let the old life die so that we can be born again as children of God. Galatians 3:26-27 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to love You with all our hearts, to die to that old man of sin and to live for You and to love You by our obedience to the gospel and every day to show ourselves lovers of Your will and doers of Your will. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I lift Your name on high.
If you lose your soul, have you considered what you've lost? If you lose your soul, you'll lose it eternally. You'll lose all the joy of being filled as a righteous person. Sinful lives may think they have pleasure, but they're broken and empty. All this world can offer you is temporary. All the pleasures will be gone. Hebrews 11:25-26 says that Moses chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now only God can save you and give you the crown of life. If you reject God, you'll lose all the blessing the Lord could have given you. The Lord said in Mark 8:36-37, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Have you considered your soul, and are you right with God? To be right with God, you must be washed in the blood of Christ. This is God's gift. You can't earn His grace, but you must accept it according to His terms. The Lord saves us by sacrificing His body and blood on the cross. He is our Savior and Lord. Just as He did the will of the Father, so we too must do His will. And we do this by believing Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We must repent of our sins and out of love turn to righteousness. Since we truly believe, we will confess our faith and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, this is God's teaching from the beginning, according to Acts 2:38. Won't you show your love today? We hope our study, All of Your Soul, has caused you to want to love God with all your soul. This lesson is part of our special series entitled Heart, Soul, Mind, and Strength. Now, if you live in the United States and want a free printed copy, send your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call the Search Office toll-free at 1-800-321-8633. There's a schedule of our programs, and there's a map of churches in your area at searchtv.org. We also want you to know that Search is on YouTube, and we ask that you subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, and like the programs. We also offer free Bible correspondence courses. Now, don't worry, we're not asking for money. We're here to help you draw close to God. Show God your love by worshiping at church. If you need a church family, and if you can attend, don't neglect worshiping at church. And we'll be glad to help you find a biblical church home. Well, as always, we say, we love you, and God bless you from all of us at In Search of the Lord's Way.